You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. We are here with Chris, who you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we are here with Damien, who you can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Hi, everybody. Yay.
Hey.
Hello.
So our number one for the week was Damien's first official pick. Ringside number one on Image by Joe Keatings. Brian's got an E at the end.
That's how he spells it.
Then I said it wrong. It's yeah. Joe Keating E.
Again.
Keating E.
I think Keating's probably.
Yeah, probably. And our overrated, underrated for the week is games based on TV shows or movies. So get ready for that.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
So, Chris, last week you were kind of, we probably can't talk about it too much, but you wanted to kind of touch base on the fade out, which I did finish this week.
Right.
And you were saying that you were disappointed in the ending. I get why you were, but I totally dug it.
It just goes,
I know it did, but I liked it. Like, I liked the way it ended, because it wasn't...
No, it wasn't a crappy ending.
Right.
It was just kind of like...
It wasn't expected.
Like, yeah, I was just like, oh, that's it?
Right.
How it happened?
But I still definitely think that...
You went through all that bullshit just to find out that was...
Right. But this is where they can lead into the Brodsky spinoff, I think. I think that would be great. But...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's... I don't know. It's... yeah, I mean, It's better than most.
Oh yeah, by far.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, it's just weird how like it just kind of just goes eh like that. And I was like, really? I'm
yeah.
Like maybe I was just waiting for like explosions or something. Or but I mean,
no. I mean, it was pretty anticlimactic.
I mean, that's kind of Brubaker's style, anyways. Really.
hey, Brian's gonna shed a tear here if you keep.
No, that's not a bad thing. It's just
his style's totally just to kind of peter out with no grand. Gestures or whatever.
I'm very forgiving when it comes to Ed Brubaker.
His endings aren't—they're not bad. I mean, they don't for that kind of style. I don't think they really need to be like monumental.
He's backtracking.
I know, right?
Whatever.
No. I also.
I know. That's kind of. Yeah. It doesn't. It's kind of like a double negative what I just said, but.
Well, people will have their own opinions
figured,
when they finish.
I figured that there would have been a little bit more shock to how it all happened, or maybe there was like a different kind of motive than what there was.
Right, really. Yeah. I'll probably take one day and just read them all, because I feel like I kind of forgot a few things here and there as it went on.
Yeah, the motive seemed kind of like haphazard and like, you know, like, oh, it's...
Now, how does everyone here feel about girls?
Weird.
The Comic Girls?
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
I just finished the second trade. I know, obviously, it keeps going farther than that, but I'm really digging it, so I was just kind of wondering if anybody else was reading that.
I read the whole thing.
All right, well, don't ruin it for me.
I'm not going to say anything.
But it's good, right?
It's so weird. It's going to get weirder, too.
I don't know, dude. Gigantic alien sperm in the cornfield and naked egg women? I mean...
It's
pretty weird, man. But no, I totally dig it.
And it's
totally
going to get a lot more brutal, too.
Two things. A, Patton Oswalt gives his full endorsement of that series, so that's something. Secondly, if you think that's weird, Grant Morrison's The Filth. Way
no.
out
I think
there.
I have that. I think on last time you mentioned how weird it was I bought it, but I don't. It's around here somewhere.
That is a...
I'll have to find it, and maybe I'll add that to my next read.
It's way out there.
I mean, the title alone is, I mean, The Filth.
Yeah, that doesn't really describe what's inside, though.
I'm pretty sure it's filthy.
Oh, it is, but I mean, it's it's wild.
Yeah, I don't have much else that I've read that I don't think anyone's really interested in hearing about, so I'll just leave it at those two. And like,
I read Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I have to agree with what Brian said when I was there 2 weeks ago, what he said about it.
That it seems like it's something that shouldn't have been done? Is that what he said? Because that's what he should have said.
No. I think, didn't you say that you've kind of felt it was kind of like kiddie-ish or, you know, like...
I just was reading it going, yeah, I don't, what's the point?
Yeah, that's kind of how I am when I read it.
I mean,
I was just like... It's not bad. It's not good. It's kind of there.
It'd be like, at this point, why not just do a Batman Barney Miller spinoff?
Dude, that would be awesome.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
Right? Now that it comes out of my mouth, it actually sounds more appropriate.
Yeah, I didn't know that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Batman thing existed. That sounds not like something I would read. I mean, it just sounds crazy. Like why?
Well, it was that. I do like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I like more of what they were before they became the cartoon.
Well, right, they were more geared for adults back then, you know.
Yeah,
now it's,
they didn't talk.
Yeah, you know, they said fuck and shit, and they sounded like they sounded like 17-year-old teenagers would talk.
So Damien says they didn't talk, and now you're saying they were swearing.
They talk.
No, they did.
I didn't read it.
Remembering. I could easily be misremembering. I remember it was black and white. I remember
liking
that.
Yeah, and it was black and white. You're right.
And hyper-violent.
Yeah, that too. And this one, I thought, and based because it was being written by James Tynion Forso, I thought it would be maybe like a little throwback to that, kind of, but it really wasn't. The story just kind of seems like they're poof, they're here. Okay, we got to get back home. Okay, well, how the hell did you get here to begin with?
In their pizza van, or whatever the hell it was.
Right, pizza. And like, yeah, and that was another thing.
April
like,
O'Neil
really,
was on
you're
going to
bring that up? Because like in the old ones, pizza's like never mentioned. So, yeah, and what else did I read? I think that's pretty much about it. Still got like this huge stack.
Which is weird because I've been actually dwindling mine down quite a bit lately.
No, mine's huge, dude.
Yeah,
mine's weak.
I'm happy to say that mine's dwindling.
Again, if we clip just that little segment and played it for somebody, they'd go, "What?"
Oh, that's gonna be our new segue from now on. Mine's huge, dude.
Jesus Christ, man! I can't say one word.
No, you're just feeding me like easy layups here. I could just keep putting them in.
Whereas I suck at basketball,
yeah,
so no.
What's wrong with that one? I could just keep putting them in.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's not bad. Kind of like mine on Elder Scrolls.
So you could just segue him so it goes, man, mine is huge. I'll just keep putting it in.
Oh, dear.
Right. All right. Let's steer this back to a conversation.
You're the one who was driving
it
in the gutter.
I know.
The man's got a point, Brian.
He does have a point.
So, what'd you read, Brian?
Just three quick things. One, I've been corresponding with a girl on Twitter this week. She does a creator-owned book called Paradox Girl.
And you asked her on a date.
Anyway, she sent me the first issue. I read it. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm going to do a review of it for
get
the website.
Number.
Dude, can I finish what I'm trying to say here? I'm trying to be
Now you know how
succinct.
It feels.
I'm trying to be succinct. Anyway, I just wanted to, if she's listening, because I know she listened to like one of the last episodes, I really dug it. It's a superhero story about a girl who's a paradox of herself. It kind of reminded me of the novel After the Golden Age. I don't know why, though, but if you see it, I think it's self-published or it's published by a company that does some kind of weird anime-style card games, but definitely give that a look. Insects number 2 on Aftershock. That's probably my favorite series right now. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
I haven't read it yet, so
I won't say anything, but it's it's probably the most unique thing in my box every month. All right. There you go. One last mention. The movie The Revenant, if you were thinking of going to see it, don't. It is horrible.
Really?
I completely agree. Don't waste your time.
That's a bummer.
No, yeah, that it's movie, a bummer if you see it.
That movie is absolutely a bummer. It's so in love with itself and not really for any good reason. Although I'll say Tom Hardy as Bane the Hillbilly was amazing.
Now, did you guys see the trailer for that movie that I told you about called The Witch?
I did. I watched it actually after you mentioned it that night.
What'd you think?
I totally want to see that. It looks pretty cool.
That movie makes me want to hang upside down, crucified.
You want to stretch out your Jesus. Spine or something? Or
if you see The Revenant, you'll want to hang yourself upside down.
By your testicles?
Just in general. It's a very... If Leonardo DiCaprio wins an Oscar for this, it's a sorry we didn't give you one earlier Oscar.
Oh, big time, yeah. Not that he was bad, just the, you know, the movie was bad.
it was wow.
Okay, well, after your three, what about you, Damien? You got any interesting reads this week?
Yeah, well, I've been... one thing I've been doing is go back and filling some gaps, especially after talking to you guys. I went... checked out Alex and Ada.
Ooh.
And I like that quite a bit.
How far did you get?
Just through the first trade.
Nice.
I have the second one. I've been doing the things, doing the library thing with comics right now.
Okay.
Oh, I've done that before too.
Yeah. You can just, you know, I don't know if what your guys' library system's like, but ours kind of has like a Netflix sort of thing where you can just kind of put what you want and it shows up and just
go. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So you can, I mean, they don't have a huge selection of everything, but like I looked at Becky Cloonan because I haven't really read a lot of her stuff, and I was like, oh, I want to see if they have like the Conan stuff she did or whatever, but they didn't have any of that stuff. But anyway, so I read that, and that was quite good, and I'm excited to finish that off. And then I read one of the Incognito trades.
Oh, okay.
Ed Brubaker thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a standalone thing. That's kind of how it seemed at first, but now I realize there's another one, or maybe even more. I'm not even sure. So, but I thought those were pretty cool too. So I'm checking out those, and then I did get a couple really kind of cool, weird little indie titles from a publisher out of Philly called Retrofit. They do like they're kind of small format, like almost the size of like what you'd see like a mini comic in, but like nice heavy paper, and they're really nicely printed, and they're super, the stuff is super crazy. There's a title called Eyelash Out by a guy named Ben C, and it's just really fucking strange and drawn really crazy and awesome. Lots of like intestines flying around in the backgrounds and wispy trees, and everyone seems to have bloody sweat dripping off them for no reason.
Sounds interesting.
What is this?
Yeah, it's weird.
What is
go on?
Well, it's called Eyelash Out. And,
no, the publisher again?
Oh, Retrofit.
Retrofit, okay.
Yeah, I guess they're out of Philly. It's a Retrofit / Big Planet, who I don't know who Big Planet is either, but Retrofit seemed to kind of be like the main name. And they do tons of these like little weird kind of underground indie black and white mainly things. But it's cool. I mean, it's definitely strange, and I appreciate that.
Is it only like smaller publisher out of Philly that I'm aware of is that Locust Moon. I guess they're a shop, and then they do create their own comics as well.
Yeah, that dude that I made a print for that did that book, The Wrenchies, Farrell Daropel. I guess he has something with Locust Moon that I have not yet seen, but I will look up because he's. I don't know if you guys are familiar with his stuff, but he's great.
No,
you told me about him, and then I asked Brian actually if he was familiar, and Brian's like, no, not really. And then he told me that he did some stuff already for like what, issue 4 and 5 of Island on Image.
Yeah, he did the cover of issue 3 of Island.
Oh, okay,
and then 4 and 5 has 2 of his stories. It's kind of the black and white. They're sort of weird. I mean, good weird, but weird. And then he also did Prophet for a little bit.
Oh wow.
So he's kind of got like a sort of, it's weird. It's like a Mobius sort of style, I'd say. So kind of like that sort of 60s abstract kind of comic style. You know, mix in a little bit of, well, I mean, you guys know Prophet looks like, so I mean, kind of
right.
A little bit like that as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but I would definitely, if you ever get a chance, check out that book, Wrenchies. It's really, really weird. It kind of reminds you of like how sad and lonely it is to be an adolescent sometimes. With also wizards and and monsters and
you know, life sucks, kind of abracadabra.
I'm actually looking at some of this retrofit stuff. It looks pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's cool. It looks like they have a web store, and you can just like get PDFs if you want of stuff. But I mean, their print quality is really high for what it is. But I don't know what stuff your local store has. My store is great. They have a little bit of everything. You know, superhero. Kid stuff for kids. Lots of underground stuff too. Minis and stuff. Because Seattle's got such a huge. I'm sure Chicago does too, but has such a huge comic culture of people from all over the spectrum.
Yeah, I'd say Chicago has there's a place down in the city called Quimby's Queer Store, and I know they sell a lot of like LGBT comics.
Is it different than Quimby's Comics, or because is Quimby's Comics still around?
It might even be the same people. I've never been in that store, to be quite honest with you. I know they were. They specialize in books for LGBT culture. They specialize in fanzines, and I know they sold comics as well.
Yeah, I've been in there.
Is that Wicker Park?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, yeah, I've been there before. I think it was just called Quimby's Comics before. I remember the Victory Records store was down there too, I think.
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
Yep.
Ah, good times.
But yeah, the store we go to, they do the same. They have a huge selection of like Fantagraphics, Drawn and Quarterly, and then they got a huge section of just board games and such.
That sounds cool.
And the girl Lori, she's really into gaming, and she's her comic reading is like all over the map. I mean, she's not just Marvel DC. She knows a lot about a lot of things. So,
what's the name of that store?
Amazing Fantasy Books. There's actually four stores. They have one in Frankfurt, one in Crown Point, Indiana, one in Tinley Park, Illinois, and then one in Lockport. And they've all opened bigger stores recently.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because I guess the gaming stuff is doing really well, so they've been able to expand.
Excellent. And my shop's doing really well too. They're called Arcane Comics, and they're like a block from my apartment, and it's dangerous to be that close to a comic shop.
I wish I was that close. Well, are we ready for the number one then?
I think
yeah, I think so.
Well, since it was your pick, would you be so kind as to bring us into it?
Sure. Yeah, I just kind of randomly picked something that I had just picked up. I was actually in my shop in Van Arcane, and I was asked him like, "What's just came out and is kind of interesting?" And the guy was like, "Well, do you like pro wrestling?" And I was like, "Well, not really. I mean, I'm aware of wrestling peripherally growing up and around it, but I don't particularly have a hold on it." He's like, "Well, it doesn't matter. You'll probably like this regardless." And yeah, I checked it out. I thought it was pretty interesting. I really kind of enjoyed the sort of minimalistic art style of it and the sort of, you know, kind of L.A. noir vibe of the whole story. I'm have no idea where it's going, but I was interested.
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail right on the head with that. I'm not saying being sarcastic either. It's exactly how it is. That's exactly the vibe that it gives off. I mean, it kind of reminded me, what's that movie with Mickey Rourke?
The Wrestler.
It kind of gives that vibe because they refer to him a couple times as a has-been, you know, and he's like, but he's like trying to get away, and they're like, "Oh, you're making a comeback? You're going to make a comeback?" He's like, "No." He's like, I'm done. I don't. I'm done. He's like, yeah. I want to be behind the scenes. I don't want my name mentioned or anything.
Well,
yeah, I had a few issues with it too, but I mean, I thought overall it was a good introduction. I thought the very last page was drawn in a way that really made me actually kind of giggle a little bit, because it seemed really like outside of how the rest of the book was drawn.
Yeah.
In a way that I think was supposed to make a dramatic point, but I thought made me kind of like chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, it was just like way more detailed than everything else.
Yeah, like it's crazy, and it I think the strength of the artist was sort of in the sort of expressionistic way that everything was sort of drawn. Like everyone was sort of
just looked real shitty.
Yeah, kind of.
It was just everything was just kind of real subtle.
Yeah, it was you know, it was gritty and everything felt like out of focus in a way.
Shitty art done on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I love that stuff.
No, I agree.
Did anyone else get the Dr. Katz vibe from it?
No,
that sounds awesome though.
Really? I'm the whole time I'm reading this, I'm thinking if this was animated, I'd feel like Squiggle Vision's the only way to do it.
Squiggle Vision.
Well, no, that's what it was called. Because yeah, remember we used to. Because actually, this actually sort of ties into wrestling. A friend of ours used to have a black box back in the 90s, and every Sunday we were at his apartment watching wrestling pay per views, and then we'd stick around to watch Dr. Katz afterwards. So every single Sunday it was either WCW, ECW. Chicago has a very proud white trash wrestling tradition as far as fans go, and we were. It was a huge deal in hardcore in this city for a long time as well.
Unfortunately.
Nope.
Yeah, a lot of my friends here, they're hardcore dudes, like, really love wrestling as well.
Yep.
I liked it when I was 10.
Me and Jim Grimes proudly went to see WCW Nitro when Kevin Sullivan threw a chair at Randy Macho Man Savage.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, there were multiple times where he and I would just sit in our townhouse in Elmhurst and watch tapes of wrestling from the 80s and pretend like the matches were happening at the time.
I will disagree with you about where it's going. That I think was pretty plain to see that he's the guy, the main character, Dan Kenosis, or...
Yeah, I can't remember how.
He's obviously back in town because there's what I'm getting. His ex-boyfriend is in trouble.
I think you got the wrong. The younger guy is the one that has the boyfriend.
Yeah, but he said something. Let me pull it up. It doesn't matter. I don't really care.
He just came back to help an old friend.
Well, that first issue is super vague in that way, where you can't quite.
Right.
That's why it's a first issue. I had some issues where I felt like, is this dude gay or is he not? Well, I mean that you know didn't really.
I didn't notice that, but
I didn't quite. I guess I didn't know where it was going to the point where I should say I've also read issue two, and it put that in context in a way that I thought issue one seemed maybe overly vague, like.
Okay, yeah.
People are reading.
You know, I feel that way about a lot of number ones where they're just, they don't give you enough to bring you back. But I kind of didn't get that on this one. Like you guys were saying, I don't know why, because it doesn't like have much similarities to the wrestler outside of the fact that it's wrestling. But I had that wrestler vibe the whole time, and then at the end, it like totally went on a totally different weird loop that I wasn't expecting. And I'm like, all right, I at least got to see where this is going now. Because it's like, oh, like, I want to get out. I'm just here to help a friend. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. My name's not Ram Jam or whatever the hell it was. The Minotaur.
Minotaur.
Right. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, so you still got a stockpile of weapons? Yes, I do. All right, let's do this. I'm like, dude. And then, you know, what do? They open up... you know, the shed to an arsenal, and he's like, well, it's a start. I'm like, it's a start?
The shed from Commando.
Right? Like, what do you mean it's a start, man? Like, come on. So, I don't know. I thought it was done pretty well for number one.
I never make any aspersions about my missing professional wrestling being as amazing as it was back in the 90s and even in the 80s, so... anything to do with wrestling, I'm kind of going to be like, all right, I have to at least look at this. Unless it's like current WWE wrestlers in a comic where they're trying to be superheroes. Like, I don't have any interest in that.
But if the Andre the Giant one just a couple months back.
I don't have any interest in that either. I'm talking about like the lifestyle of wrestling.
Oh, right. Behind the scenes.
Well, okay.
Beyond the mat. What?
Yeah, see, look, right here, the woman that he's staying with, she goes, why is he still your problem? Didn't you guys break up 500 years ago?
Yeah, dude, people say that about me and Mike all the time.
Okay, well, whatever, all right.
It could be the breakup of the tag team.
Okay, yeah, you've just been really close friends, I mean.
Okay, well, I just assumed he was homosexual.
You know what they say about assumptions?
Mm-hmm.
But always correct.
All right. But this comic reminded me of when Scott and I and a friend of ours drove to Akron, Ohio.
Canton, Ohio.
Was it Canton, Ohio? Canton. Okay, it was Canton, Ohio, which I don't know if you've ever been to Canton, Ohio. It's the birthplace. Yeah, I'm sorry. The birthplace of depression, and I don't mean like the depression. I mean the mental state of being depressed.
I like when Jim called Ohio the armpit of America.
Anyway, I have to. Woo.
Yeah.
But no, Canton.
I've played there before.
Yeah, actually, I think we have as well. No, we played Dayton. Oh my God, I won't even start on that.
We played Dayton.
Dayton is scary.
That's a Courage Crew area, right?
Yes. Yep. We got chased out of there by them twice.
We had a thing.
I think we had a thing. I don't think you can go to Dayton without having a thing. It's a scary human place of misery and scariness and right-wing insanity. Anyway.
Very, very angry.
Oh, my God. That's scratching the surface barely, but... Canton is like, you get there on Saturday night at like 5 and nothing's open. It's like, what the
it's sad.
It's the nexus of depression. So we go to this gymnasium or whatever to see Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine
in a barbed wire match.
In a barbed wire match where there's like 50 people in the entire crowd. And this is during the height of
That's
the Stone
wonderful.
Cold. Yeah, it's like during the height of the Stone Cold Steve Austin Monday Night Nitro thing, and like that trip was kind of in the same emotional vein as this first issue. And it's like seeing guys who were big 10 years ago just scratching and clawing for the next $50 to get them to the next city so they can get the next $50 just so they can eat at Wendy's or something. So I feel like
I'm in a real job.
Huh? Oh, better than a real job?
Sounds a lot better than a real. Yeah.
We should travel in, I guess.
True. To
get
the...
to see the world. You ain't got nothing to, you know.
Come see all the most depressing cities in America.
Some of all the best gymnasiums.
How do you feel about Barnes? Because you're going to see one every weekend.
Yeah, right. All right, so are we ready to number and move on? Anyone else got final words?
Sure.
Alrighty. Personally, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. At the very least, I'm going to check out the second one, especially based on your recommendation of the fact that you've already read it. I'm easily at it, like a 7. You know, it was good, and it gave me a hook, but it didn't like blow my mind, you know, but it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm a 7. If it was about something other than wrestling, maybe not, but because it's about weird... bingo hall wrestling. It's kind of, I can't help but be intrigued.
Did anyone else get the feeling that one guy was supposed to be Diamond Dallas Page?
I did keep hearing "Riding the Storm Out" by REO Speedwagon the entire time I was reading it.
Oh, that's good.
Is that the neighbors again blasting it?
I don't know. That might be too highbrow for them.
Oh, good.
I was just making a stupid joke.
Okay. Sorry. I was also going to say definitely a 7. I have only a couple tiny issues here and there, and they're just mainly stylistic choices that maybe I wouldn't have made. I don't necessarily think they're wrong or bad. It just seemed a little... Like, that last panel just seemed to... It was a weird reveal for me. I did... One thing I should mention real quick, though, something I've seen before but not as often, is I really liked how cinematic that beginning was, where they put, like, just the credits, like, among the panels as they went by.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of neat.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was, actually.
Yeah, it was...
So that was a nice touch. There's some cool decisions in there.
I was going to say I'm at a 7, too. It's... I would say out of most first issues that I've read as of recently, besides The Violent, which is, I think, awesome right now, this one gave enough, I think, gives enough to the reader where you would come back.
Yeah, I did.
Agreed.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't vague, but it was, you know, there's still enough mystery, but there's still enough there that you can make some, well, yeah, there's, you know, you know what's going on. You know that he's there to help out a friend. Why the friend's in trouble, we don't really know. So... But at least you got something like that, where it's like a lot of the first issues I've read as of late, you know, it's like they get to the end and I'm like, okay, well, is this a recipe for chicken soup, or what am I reading here?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the vagueness of some of the ones that I've read lately that I don't know where the hell they're going with it.
Yeah, it seems like we've had a lot of those lately. I'm not going to lie. So it's refreshing that we've had two in a row now that were pretty awesome.
I think that's a good example of giving the reader something to go off of without, you know, giving you the entire story.
I'm going to go ahead and throw Lucifer on that pile because that was pretty good as well.
I forgot about that, yeah. Oh, geez. All right, so there you have it, Ringside. Definitely worth checking out. Next, we have a little discussion going on here about why haven't women written major superhero comics yet?
Because they're too busy in the kitchen cooking food.
SkateX Edge on Twitter. All your hate mail. This was something
you know
that Brian.
I say this to piss off Brian.
No, I know.
You're not making me mad. Yeah. I'm not going to have to deal with all the angry humans who are going to come down on
you
appropriately.
Yeah, right. All the angry humans that listen to the show.
I am so going to tweet out just that segment, and all my 2,500 followers are going to come crashing down on your life. So Brian brought this one to the table, so we'll let him. Kind of start the discussion here to see where he wants to go with it.
Honestly, I kind of had the thought because of reading that Paradox Girl and the girl who draws insects, the one on Aftershock from Marguerite Bennett, her name's Ariella Cristantina. She and I have engaged a little bit on Twitter in the last week, and I started thinking, there's all these women who are involved in comics, creating comics, writing, drawing, inking, etc. But out of the all the women who are creating these things, I've yet to see one, and obviously that's actually changed, and I'll get to that in a second, but I've yet to see any females who have written for any male superheroes is what I was getting at. Not just, 'cause you'll see Kelly Sue DeConnick did Captain Marvel, and... was it G. Willow Wilson that did Miss Marvel?
She's doing Miss Marvel. She's also doing A-Force, which is
all
the
female Avengers,
but all women. Yeah.
But you have yet to see a female do Batman, Superman, Wolverine. All that's changed because actually a female writer is taking over the Punisher, which is kind of interesting. But the article I read was them saying when women write for... female superheroes, they're all like, oh, look at them, they're doing it, yay. And then when men write strong women characters, for example, Brian Azzarello wrote Wonder Woman for a while, he gets praised for saying, oh, he really knows how to write a woman character really well, he really knows how to get inside a woman's head. But yet no females up to now, like Gail Simone, has not been given the opportunity to write Batman, for example. And I was just curious if anyone else had any thoughts on that, because it just struck me as weird. Because, like I said, there's
no,
so many...
No, I never gave it much thought.
I didn't either until about a week ago, and it just dawned on me recently that, like, I've seen some females drawing or coloring these characters, but none have had the opportunity to write a Batman miniseries or a Superman ongoing yet. And I was just curious if anyone else had ever thought about that or what their thoughts are on it, because I just thought it was interesting that it hasn't happened yet.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I haven't thought about it until I read the article earlier, or at least saw that you posted it, you know, and I perused it a little bit before the show here. But my thinking is more of like, as far as comics go, superheroes aren't like as big as they used to be. Like all this independent, like weird, more realistic type stuff seems to be almost as big as superheroes. It just seems like superheroes aren't like, that's not what tells you I've made it. You know, it's just, they're not as big as they were, so maybe that's why you're not seeing a lot of female writers jumping on board for it. Maybe. Maybe they want to do their own stuff. I don't know. But, I mean, I wouldn't be against it, obviously. But, I mean, that was just the way I looked at it. Maybe it's just not that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah. We were talking last week about perspectives, and I think that's something that would be interesting to see if there were a lot more female writers writing what was generally... you know, male written superheroes, just because of the different perspective you might gain. I mean, not saying that's necessarily true, but
I was going to say, I read a similar article a couple of days ago in reference to women who are writing like TV shows now, and the way they're writing, and it may sound stupid, but the way they're writing like sex scenes, as opposed to like, you know, all this years, it's been like, you know, the lights go dim and you see a little bit of this and that and it's whatever. But now that you're getting all these women writers in TV and movies and whatever, they're getting more silly. And they brought up that show Broad City was one of the examples where instead of just being all like dark and like you kind of fade to dark as they just kind of start doing it, it's more of a like the actual clumsiness that goes with, you know, I guess being with somebody for the first time, whatever. And it's just, you know, so you start to see the different perspectives that way. So, I mean, obviously you'd get that, too, if they started writing more male characters in, you know, say, superhero comics. So, I agree with that, but I didn't mean to cut in for that long.
No,
but,
no. That's great. I think that's great. I think that's a great way to put it.
Hey, I have my moments. I do. They're few and far between, but I have them.
Yeah, and who's writing The Punisher? Is it Becky Cloonan? Is that what I read?
That's...
No, I think it's... No, who is doing it then?
No, it's funny because the photo is right at the top of the article, and Becky Cloonan will be writing Marvel's main Punisher title.
And when does this start?
Okay.
I don't know. It just says that she'll be writing the main Punisher title, and it was announced... last October.
Oh, so that should be soon, I would think. Can't wait to review that one on the show.
Well, I think
she's
that...
Oh, good.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, she's not drawing it, though, right? Because I know she's actually quite a good artist as well.
I think she's just going to be writing it.
Yeah, Marvel doesn't do that too often, do they? Where it's like a writer and artist. It feels like they pair people up a lot.
I feel like you could probably get more done that way.
Yeah, because they...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like,
I think they want to keep on a schedule because they don't want to be like Archie where they're like, oh, we'll put out Black Hood number 3 now and then Black Hood number 4 in 7 months.
Right.
And Sabrina will never come out.
Yeah, right.
I just think it's interesting that like the first time I could think of, at least in the current era, of a female taking over a specific character, it's like the most machismo driven character probably of all out of any company there is.
I'm super interested already, so it doesn't, mm-hmm. You know, I can't wait to review that thing.
I, of course, like, you know, I guess it's just interesting that this is the very first time. I mean, I know that, like, Louise Simonson did some, like, team-up books in, like, the 80s or whatever, or she may have done some editing for X-Men at one point. And I know when they did that Batman Gotham Knight novel tie-in for that anime thing that came out when The Dark Knight came out, she wrote the novelization for that, but... I feel like there was already a structure in place, and she was just kind of filling in the details. Like, she didn't really write it. I mean, I read the book because I found it for $1, so I was like, yeah, whatever.
Ooh, big time.
It was in, yeah, it was at a garage sale. I was like, oh, for $1, I'll buy this, whatever.
Nice.
Sweet. Any more thoughts, anyone?
Well, I'm super excited to see The Punisher, read The Punisher thing. The art looks awesome, and I'd be excited to see what Becky Cloonan does with that character. It would be nice to just get a different perspective on the Punisher, especially because we're also going to be seeing Punisher in the Daredevil series, and then it sounds like Punisher's getting his own series now.
Correct. That's pretty much how it's sounding, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, this is one of those topics that we've had on here where it would be helpful to have a female perspective on the show to kind of give their thoughts, so... Note to self, meet more females that read comics, or just females in general.
Well, alrighty then. There you have it.
Yeah.
We will be seeing that hopefully sooner.
You know, the thing is, when I was putting this together, I'm envisioning like this long, drawn out conversation and debate, blah blah blah. And then 5 minutes in, I'm like, we're all like, "Yep, I got nothing." I'm like,
"Yeah, because we're all like, yeah,
I don't know what to say. Like, why haven't they done it? Who knows?"
No, I'm not saying anyone. I'm saying me and as much as anyone else. I'm like, well, I kind of struck out here.
And I don't think he did.
I think it's a good topic.
And having a woman's perspective on it, I don't know if that would even help. I think having a perspective of someone that's in the industry right now would be better. At least you'd know, like, I think that's kind of like an inside thing of like why they haven't been doing it. I mean, really, like, it's taking this long.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a boys' club for a long time, and I mean, as much as there, you know, are a lot of comics, you know, at one point a lot of comics were being made, and it was probably definitely a boys' club then, and then we got to a point where maybe fewer were being written. You have all these people who already have jobs as writers,
right?
And there might not have been a lot of hiring at certain points, and then also, you know, especially in the '90s, like the way I know some women I know that like comics had talked about like. Picking up like Wildcats or something in the '90s and looking at the way the girls are drawn, they'd be like, "All right, this is a little over the top." Like, I mean, yeah. Jim Lee's awesome, but it's some of the ways women were drawn like in the '90s were a little horny, I guess. I don't know if that's the term.
Well endowed.
It definitely fits. Yeah.
Yeah, and it might have turned off, you know, some women who would be like, "Oh, this looks so interesting. Okay, this is not for me." Like, it just kind of had that like, "This is not for you" sort of look.
Yeah.
So, like, so, Witchblade, then,
you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Exactly. Maybe there wasn't as big a pool of writers, because I'm sure there's tons of people who would love to be writing, you know, any comic, and I'm sure there's a lot of competition for that kind of thing, especially getting a gig at Marvel or DC or something. I mean,
right. Yeah, but I mean, you do see like the women writers doing the female characters, and
mm-hmm.
Well, it can't be an easy industry to get into in the first place,
right?
Right, and I'm sure the editors are approaching those kind of those people, like approaching a woman, like, "Hey, you know, I saw that mini you did; it's really great. We're thinking of doing a Wonder Woman 4-issue series. Would you be interested in writing it?" I mean, they're not going to be like, "Did you offer this to a man first? Because I want to make sure it's not just some woman." Like, I'm sure they're like, "Yeah, fuck yeah, that'd be awesome. I'll totally write a Wonder Woman." And so it's. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I may be wrong, but wasn't it back in like the '40s and '50s that women did write for the major characters, but they had to write under a male surname in order to get published? Because I know that women worked in comics all the way back in the golden age, so to speak, but they were in the bullpen. And I know a lot of creators in general got almost no credit for their work as is. And I could have swore I read something where I said the women were sometimes, like, say they were short-staffed or they needed to get something out. And they're like, "Here, whatever, I don't know, just any random female name. Here, you write Superman this week." Okay. But don't put your name on it. Put, Bill Smith on there. Okay.
That definitely happened. There was some documentary that came out a while back you guys probably saw. I can't remember. But they talked about that. Like, there's women, because the romance comics were really popular back then, too.
Yes.
And they'd have women like, "You're the writing the romance comic." But then, like, they'd also be drawing Batman or Superman or something. But they would not put their name on that because they're like, you know, these editors would be like, "That would be crazy."
No one's going to buy that.
I mean, Harper Lee, you know, changed her name to Harper Lee for To Kill a Mockingbird because people thought that no one would take it seriously if it had her female name on there. So, I mean, that was just happening everywhere, not just the comics. I mean, but
so weird that like still was going on just even 40, 50 years ago. Probably even more than that, you know, 30 years ago. Just weird. I don't know.
That sounds like sarcasm to you. From me.
No.
Just
no.
Looking at you across the room with these bed
eyes. Just amazing.
I did have another. While you brought up the romance comics, just out of curiosity, have you read any of those Yo Books reprints of Weird Love?
No.
Are they
crazy?
They are super weird. I have like four or five of them. And I mean, they all kind of read like that era where the writing's not great. But some of the story ideas, just super weird. You could tell some guy wrote it because he thought it was either super funny or super misogynistic, but they're so bizarre to look at now. because they seem like relics from a different era. I don't know. I just thought
that's
it was
cool. I will peek at one.
Man, we're speaking of relics from a different era. Look at all these us old men, huh? Well, you guys. I'm still young. You guys are old. I'm young.
I'm.
Yeah, by 3 years.
You still got your youth.
Yeah, big time. Watch me run down the block.
Watch me run down the driveway and then fall face first in the street.
Actually, watch him run up the stairs.
I do that every day when I run to bed, because when they turn the lights off, I get scared and I have to run to my bedroom.
That's right.
Nailed
it. Devils at your toes.
All right, so as I said earlier, the over-under is games based on TV shows or movies.
Now, we probably should have asked, Damien, are you into gaming at all? Or?
You know, I don't play a lot of games. I play like a really weird version of Dungeons & Dragons with my six-year-old. Not a lot of board games or tabletop games. Here and there. I mean,
well, I picked video games.
Oh, video games. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, and I do. We have a my half family. We have a Wii U right now. Like, definitely. We're more kid related when it comes to that stuff. I love games, but I don't have time to play them really.
Oh, okay.
But I do like watching. You know, I watch the. What's that thing online where you can watch like people play games?
Twitch.
Yeah. I like watching clips from that.
Nerds. Stereo sound. Oh, that's just Twitch. Yeah.
I live vicariously through other people.
You're talking to somebody who watches the Dice Tower videos constantly, like on weekends, on purpose. I watch board game countdowns for hours sometimes. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Dice Tower or whatever, but I'm like obsessed with it. Yeah, I'm
board game reviews basically.
And this guy in Miami, he's like the board game king now, and like the biggest nerd on planet Earth. So, but does it for a living now. So I'm pretty jealous.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
This be the one episode he listens to, and he's like,
done. I was gonna come on, but now screw you guys. All right, I guess we'll go with me for overrated. And I'm not trying to say that it's super popular, but I mean, I did go and, you know, I bought mine at the midnight release and picked it up, and it was crowded and people were super pumped for it. But, and I have the poster on the wall behind me, Star Wars Battlefront.
Oops.
I'm not trying to say it's terrible, but it could be better. So I know it's kind of a weak pick, but boom, nailed it.
I picked the same thing because I've watched you play it multiple times, and I'm like, this is the best game of 2015.
Yeah, like, I'll give you that. Like, the graphics are unreal. They are so good. The sound is so good. But there's zero story mode, and it's just super unbalanced. You can't pick whether you're going to be a rebel or if you're going to be on the Imperial side. It's just you switch off every single match. And, like, while there's, like, 15 different game modes, they're all fairly similar. So, I mean, it's fun, but it ain't that fun. Chris knows. He played it when he was here last time.
Yeah, it was okay.
Right? It's just...
It was all right.
I mean, the graphics are awesome, but,
The maps are, I wouldn't say, aren't exactly the best.
Yeah.
I don't like just having multiplayer.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some kind of a story mode, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like doing that kind of thing, and then getting into the multiplayer. I don't want to. You know, that's not the first thing I like to do. I'm not. You know.
I mean, it's not like you have seven movies, eight TV shows, and 300 books to go off of.
To begin with.
But yeah, Brian's looking the other way, but we'll let him go.
I'm trying to find an alternate pick now because.
Oh, that's right. You just did say you.
Yeah, I can't. Battlefront just to me. I'm Star Wars'd out for the time being between this movie and this game and Fantasy Flight coming out with a new Star Wars $100 tabletop thing every 5 minutes.
And Star Wars makeup and...
You know what? I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's a little saturated.
I'm glad that Max was the one that bought Imperial Assault, because the one or two times we tried to play it, I was none impressed. It seemed like that Gears of War game that we had. Just unbalanced and not that fun. So I'm glad I didn't waste $100 on it.
Sounds like more work than playing.
Kinda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Chris, you got something?
Yeah. Every Bond game that isn't GoldenEye.
Can I interject real quick,
though? That's good.
Just one other Bond game that was quite fun. I can't remember when it was. It came out during the PS2 Xbox era. I can't remember which movie it was based off of.
But if Tomorrow Never Dies or...
No, World Is Not Enough, maybe, or I don't know.
Okay, I think they said that one was not that bad.
There was one where you had to do a mission without any weapons, and for some reason I figured out that you could punch people in the ass, bare-fisted. And you immediately, like, lose, like, that particular level. But I got so obsessed that it made me laugh for, like, two straight days, so... Just that alone made that game kind of fun, so I don't know. It actually was an okay game, in spite of that, but that particular mission, like, entertained me for way longer than it should have, so.
And Aliens vs. Predator was, and actually,
he's got like 20 picks again.
Colonial Marines was a big wet fart, too.
He's got like 87 picks every week.
But he never has the best thing ever.
If I go back to my Atari 2600, let me just tell you how much
E.T.,
this game...
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark was awesome.
No, it wasn't. The game was a pile of...
You just probably didn't realize you have to use both controllers.
I knew you had to use both controllers.
I don't know. I'm starting to think you didn't.
Anyways.
So in the last 7 minutes, did you think of something?
Oh, well, I mean, there is a Star Wars game that I like quite a bit that I don't know if this would be necessarily underrated because people may have really liked it, but the Tiny Death Star, do you ever play that?
Never even heard of it.
It was like a phone game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a little phone game where you build little levels and you build like a cafeteria and like, you know, like a shoe store and stuff. It's just like... It's super silly, but it's very like it's super adorable. The art is great, and it's based on another game like Tiny Tower or something like that.
So you like building
it's
the?
It's just a lot of fun.
You like build the inside of the Death Star with a bunch
right,
of little
yeah,
rooms.
Kind of from the center out.
That sounds
build
very
Darth
similar.
Vader,
I just
a breakfast nook.
I just downloaded the Fallout 4.
Shelter.
Yeah. I've been playing that all week.
Yeah, I've seen bits of that. It's supposed to be kind of like that.
I'm obsessed with that stupid game.
Really?
Yes. I'm making sure I got enough food to feed everybody. I keep putting people out in the morning to go explore. And then when I get to work, they're like dead. I'm like, no, you son of a bitch. I got to rate. Whatever. I'm an idiot. Underrated for me.
So you're sitting there wasting your time playing that instead of playing Fallout 4.
Well, I can't play Fallout 4 when I'm sitting at my desk at work. I can bring my tablet to work and take
play
care
that.
Of my vault while I play Clash of Clans and play with my Chromebook. But whatever. You know, I work hard. Nailed it. underrated for me. A few years ago, I willy-nilly, spur of the moment, picked up on PS3 The Amazing Spider-Man, which was, obviously it's based off comics, but it was also based off the movie The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. I know I just said, like, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I was, but I could not stop playing that game. I beat everything there was to beat. That game was so much fun. I recommend it to anybody and everybody. Brian watched me play it a lot, too, and now my nephews have it, so.
That they do.
Nailed it.
Mine's easy. Because I just crushed everyone in it last Saturday night. The Firefly board game shouldn't be 1/8 as amazing as it is.
I wouldn't say crushed.
No, I crushed.
You got lucky.
But generally, like video games, tabletop games based off of existing properties don't always translate well. This game is pretty close to flawless. And I crushed last Saturday night. So.
Oh, settle down. I ended the game and you beat me out by a little bit. I wouldn't say crushed.
I'm going to walk away with that fist in the air.
It was more like, you know, I was running towards the finish line and you tripped me is what happened.
That's how you win.
Yeah.
Cheat to win.
Dirty. Christopher?
Yeah, well, I could say GoldenEye. I could say that. Or I could go with X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I almost think you have to do that because I have yet to meet a person who didn't think GoldenEye was awesome.
GoldenEye is awesome.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so you can't really call it underrated if everybody loves it.
Well, this is what I'm going with. The Warriors.
It was what?
Movie?
The movie? Yeah, there was a game by Rockstar for PS2.
Oh, I remember that.
I don't.
Oh.
That game was so awesome. It made beating up people so fun. And I think there was one part where you actually have to punch a woman.
Okay. Yikes. Wow.
Get in the kitchen and make my dinner, or I'm going to punch you.
No. But.
I officially am leaving the show as of tonight.
Oh, shut up. Anyways, that's not what I was mentioning. But I'm just thinking about it right now, and I think you actually did have – I don't know if you did or not. But I don't know. It was like part of the story. But anyways, but when you had to fight gangs, that ruled. Kicking the shit out of some other dude in that game was so fucking amazing.
Did it have all the crazy gangs from the movie?
Yeah, the Turnbull ACs. And the funny part is like when you did that part for the Turnbull ACs, I mean – you know how Rockstar is, you know, with their soundtracks and stuff. Fucking, they had Fear for them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I'm not trying to say hitting a woman is great. That wasn't great.
It was like 2 minutes ago. You can't flip the script now, son.
I'm not trying to flip the script. I was just making a point. You're the one.
Quit being a flip-flopper.
You and your fucking jag off of a fucking brother are the ones who turn it around making me sound like I like to... I beat women.
You make it so easy.
Yeah, settle down, Mitt Romney.
Fuck off, you two fat asses. Go eat a pie.
Maybe I will.
So anyways, but when you had to do gang fights and you had to do huge gang fights, that was fucking awesome because it was just a straight up rumble in there. So it was just like you could have just like turned on Infest. And it just looked like one big mosh pit on your screen.
All right.
Was Infest on the soundtrack?
No, but I wish they were, though, at that point.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, no. But literally, like, you'd, like, through the story, like, when you're doing the story mode, like, you'd have to do, you'd start fighting gangs, and you're seriously in a brawl with, like, six warriors and then, like, six of whoever else.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I'm not, like, super awesome familiar with that movie.
I still have it.
Nice.
Well, alrighty. Unless you thought of an overrated there, Damien, I guess we can move on.
I don't know if it's overrated, but a game I did not enjoy, also a Star Wars game, was The Force Unleashed. I remember I did play that when that came out a few years back. And
yeah, I thought it was alright.
I beat it in one sitting. Like, I sat there and just played through the entire game, and I was like, oh, well, that was...
waste of money.
Yeah,
that was a waste of my time.
I am the king of video games.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I'm actually particularly generally pretty bad at them. So I was like, "What the hell just happened?" Like, and I was like, "This is set. It's not set easy. Like, this is just impossible not to win." I guess.
Huh. Well, because I got to add that to my list.
I don't know this.
I played the first one. And I thought the first one was fine. I didn't play the second one, but I did hear that the second one kind of sucked.
That actually, it was the second one, because I hadn't played the first one before, because I was a little unclear as what was going on story-wise, because there's a little bit of story at the beginning, a peppering of story. But,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just, you know, one of those really linear maps.
Yeah, the second one, like, I heard was not good.
Right. It was easy. I mean, I guess I was enjoying myself as I was playing it, because it was Star Wars, and it did come out before the Star Wars fatigue that's kind of hit everyone. I mean, I just... got back from seeing Star Wars right before we did this with my daughter, because she hadn't seen it yet. But, you know, but I mean, when you go to the store and you see Mandarin oranges that say Star Wars on them, you're kind of like, all right, guys. Like, it's time to take a break. I mean, we...
take a bite of our Death Star orange.
Yeah. Aunt Brew's fertilizer.
What did your daughter think of the movie?
She really did every time Ray was on the screen, she was really into it. But there was moments when they, like, when like Han and Leia are just talking, she'd look at me and she goes, I'd like to go home. You know?
And, can you get these people to shut up?
I was like, sweetie, there's like 25 more minutes, and the 25 more minutes are going to have lots of explosions. So it's gonna be great. Let's just keep, you know. So, but she did like it. She's you know, she's a kid of this generation. She's a very short attention span. But you know, it's she can't escape it either. I mean, she went to a little girl's birthday party the other day, and it was the little girl wanted a Star Wars party. Like, she had her hair like Rey, and she wanted just Star Wars toys and Star Wars Legos. That's all she wanted. I mean, she was into it. So, you know, it's definitely, she can't escape it either. It's, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean.
Oh, I don't.
I'm not going to go on a Star Wars tangent. I mean, what George Lucas did to Star Wars in the 2000s, like, really, really
an abomination.
It was just, you know, I don't know what you guys' opinion on the movie or anything was, but I definitely think my favorite thing about the movie is it essentially erased like George Lucas' biggest sin, which is the whole midichlorian thing, and it made the Force seem mystical again. And I think that's what I really appreciated about what J.J. Abrams did with making the movie essentially almost a mirror of the fourth episode by making it seem like there needs to be balance and things are just going to repeat themselves over and over again until there is. Like I said, it made the Force seem mystical again instead of seeming like some sort of weird hackneyed science that when Qui-Gon Jinn was telling like Anakin, like, oh, you got midichlorians in your blood. I mean, now it kind of seems like when doctors in the 60s were like, oh, you worry about your...
He was trying to make it sound like Scientology.
Yeah, a little bit. Now it seems like, you know, doctors used to be like, well, you know, are you smoking filtered cigarettes? Because that's the only healthy choice. You know, like, it's now midichlorian, the whole idea to me seems like snake oil. Like, oh, that crazy Qui-Gon. Like, no one believed that crap he said.
Okay.
Damn, he knows.
I don't know. Yeah.
He's
a good guy, but he was crazy.
Yeah, I'd never thought that deeply on that movie, I guess. I was just kind of like, Oscar Isaac's pretty awesome, and I actually like Kylo Ren a lot, but this movie feels like I've seen it before.
It mirrored episode four a lot, you know. In my opinion. I was hoping to get somewhat of a different story, but... well, we did a whole podcast on that, if you'd like to go back and listen.
You don't need to listen to it.
I'll check it out. Well, I think that's a fair thing to want, but I am definitely, you know, they don't make a single movie anymore. Now it's really one long 6-hour movie. So
right,
it's I almost need to. I mean, myself too. I almost need just to like wait for, you know, 6 more years before I can really truly form an opinion now. And just to talk about this for a second, my only one real issue with this one is it felt a little cut up. Like, I felt like there's a bunch of stuff missing. And I was like, you know, like my part of my thought is like, you can make the movie 3 hours if you want. We're gonna go. Like,
yeah, I still haven't seen it.
All right, well, sorry. I mean,
no, it's okay. No, you're not ruined. I already know what happens.
Oh.
I was boycotting it.
Nerd.
I'm sure your voice was heard loud.
I said I was boycotting
by everyone else that saw it 100 times.
I just feel like at this point, boycotting anything is like deciding to not have fun. And every time I think of that, I just go, yeah, I'm going to be like 80 someday, and I'm not even going to know where I'm at. So I might as well try and mine as much fun out of this as I can while I'm still able to.
I know someone who's still boycotting Tarantino movies for the same reason. She's like, oh, all his movies are just like ripoffs of other things from other movies. I'm like, so? Those were good movies that he's borrowing from. Like, well,
I was boycotting Star Wars because Disney got their grubby hands on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. All the Marvel movies have been fun.
And plus they just saturated the market, like, up to the point when it came out. And it's just like, and then, like, all my friends online, you know, on Facebook, dude, I've seen it for the fourth time. I'm like, all right, dude. I'm like, I don't even want to see it now.
Again. They've done pretty well. The Marvel movies have all been fun to close to amazing, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
When the worst thing they've got going right now is Age of Ultron, it's still a pretty good movie. I'm okay with them owning Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
If anyone has the money to do it right, it's Disney.
What?
So if anyone has the money to do it right, it's Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not all bad. Yeah. I mean, I thought all the Marvel movies have been, either really great or pretty damn good.
Yeah, right.
I can't. I guess Age of Ultron is the worst one, and on a second viewing, it's much better.
It's got its moments.
I still haven't had my second viewing, so maybe I should do that this weekend.
I haven't even had my first.
Yeah, you haven't seen a lot of movies, nerd.
I know.
Yeah, you still have to see Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Dude, you haven't seen Back to the Future?
No, I haven't. These two mo's go to movies all the time where I don't.
Well, we do run a website that reviews movies. We kind of have to see them.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I didn't make that choice, so.
Right, that's why when we're millionaires, you're gonna still be you're gonna be hosting the Comic Roast while we quit.
Good, I'll have the rights to it then.
No, you'll just be our lowly employee. We'll give you $6 a day or something. I don't know, per diem for a new microphone.
Go fix your coffee.
All right, so enough Star Wars talk for now, I suppose. We'll just wrap it up with Best Thing Ever, and we will be out of here. So for me, I am finally replacing my 10-year-old Windows Vista laptop with with a Chromebook because I'm poor and it's super cheap. Nailed it.
All right. This is not going to be anything for the two of you because you're not here to see this, but somebody I went to grade school with friended me on Facebook like 3 days ago. Not really anything exciting, but
is he hot?
It's a guy. He had the wherewithal to share this photo of himself shirtless, which is the funniest thing I've seen all week. So,
oh, is that the picture you sent me?
It is the picture I sent you.
That is
dude,
weird.
Why are you not friends with that dude? Hanging out with him.
I
thought that he looks like Matt Pike from High on Fire.
I'm baffled as to why anybody would go, oh, dude, this picture of me shirtless and sweatpants going on Facebook. Wait till the chicks I went to grade school see me now. Boom.
All right, ladies, line up.
If anyone ever caught me shirtless and took a photo of it, I'd have to behead them.
Dude, you need to not to make this totally weird, but you need to send me that picture. I'm going to Photoshop like a wrestling belt in his hands because his hands are like over his head. I'm going to Photoshop like a WWE belt in his hands.
You should put like a sub sandwich up.
Oh, that'd be even better. Dude, we could do a million things. He's our new mascot.
Yeah.
You could do a contest to put it online and see if people send you stuff.
I'm sure everybody has somebody from their past that decided to put a shirtless photo of them holding a bass or some kind of fish in their hand.
A bass.
They're all over the internet. But I actually, one time, my photo, there was a, I don't know, is anyone familiar with the baseball player Matt Stairs?
No.
He played for, like, every team in Major League Baseball. But he somehow, like, stumbled drunk ass backwards onto the Philadelphia Phillies the year they won the World Series, like, back in 2008. And there was this great photo of him warming up in the on-deck circle, and I photoshopped the bat out of his hand and put a beer keg pump in his hand instead, so it looks like he's got the beer keg thing in his hand. I don't know. I found it hilarious. It's probably not that funny. I don't know what happened to the photo. I've always just referred to that guy as the Hacksaw Jim Duggan of baseball.
Fuck.
Anyway. But yeah, shirtless grade school photos are super hilarious to me.
That's weird. Okay, so we're just going to go ahead and assume that Chris does not have a best thing ever again.
Yes, I do.
Oh my God. Okay, go.
The Bloodlet Entheogen LP.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one.
I feel like you've used that before, but I'm okay with it. Because that is a great
that
record.
Thing is the best today, tomorrow, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Hey, we're all old enough as it is. Don't need reminders.
It is them at their best period.
Yes,
amen
it is.
Amen to that.
I have a Bloodlet tattoo. That's how much I like that.
Hey, that's okay because did you ever see the reunion they did for that A389 Records a couple years ago?
No, last time I saw them, they stayed in my house and they were touring with GWAR.
That's so weird.
I wish that was my house. I wish I was there.
I wish GWAR had stayed in my house. But they had house.
You know what? I mean, I'm not going to lie. This might sound weird. I've seen GWAR like 5 times. Nobody cares. Awesome.
No.
that's awesome. I thought there was more.
No, no, I just wanted to throw that out there. I've, like...
Okay, that's all you had?
Well, I...
I've seen Gwar a couple times, but there's always because I was actually watching the other band, but I definitely enjoyed Gwar. Like, I would have to hate fun to not, like, seeing Gwar live.
I know,
Scum it's... Dogs of the Universe is a great album.
I know, I was there.
I...
Giggity.
Yeah, I think I saw them with Neurosis open for them, and then Bloodlet, and they were a blast both times.
God, we get such shitty shows here in Chicago.
Do you?
Really? Oh, dude, yeah, it was terrible. We had Person and Ghost.
We don't have fucking Bloodlet, Neurosis, and Gwar playing tomorrow.
Yeah, we had the Sword in Royal Thunder. I mean, God, only two of the coolest bands around.
Okay, well, I'm talking about...
Weak.
Bloodlet, Gwar, and Neurosis being on the same bill.
Yeah, that show There's happened. Probably... That show happened here.
Did it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Where the hell was my...
Well, okay, I take that back. Maybe not all in the same bill, but Gwar actually toured here and Neurosis opened because I remember you went and told me how horrible Neurosis was.
Sounds like
I did?
This is like 1994. He's like, oh my God, they're horrible. And I was like, really? No, not you. Scott went.
Oh, okay.
And Bloodlet, the first time they played here, or second time they played here, they opened for Neurosis. So.
Oh, you're right. They did.
Nailed it.
Where was that at?
That was at Filmmakers.
I was at that show then. Oh, yeah, that show did fucking kick ass, dude.
Yeah, and then the...
I fucking moshed for fucking Bloodlet like I thought I was moshing for, like, fucking Earth Crisis.
Yeah, Bloodlet's way better than Earth Crisis.
Yes, they are way better, but you get what I'm saying at that period in time.
Nope.
I'm not going to lie. I wish I would have seen the... Hope and Suicide when and if they ever would have came through, but womp womp. And I wish they would have done more than one record. That saddens me too.
I want to say they did play here with Place of Skulls once.
You know what? Just stop. We're trying trying to ruin my night.
Were you at the one for when they opened for Neurosis, Scott?
Who?
You. Were you at that show?
Which one?
Bloodlet Neurosis.
At Filmmakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was there. I was always there. I was in the background because you guys were all weird.
I can either do this now or I can tell you guys later, but there's a story about why the drummer of Neurosis hates everyone from Kissing Goodbye, and it's related to Bloodlet.
Well, I mean, I feel like I kind of have to say it now.
Go ahead, because you already mentioned, like, you're talking about two of my favorite bands ever.
Well, that's actually half the story. When Bloodlet was opening for Neurosis and they played the Seattle show, it's when Kissing Goodbye had just recently moved to Seattle and everyone was super excited about him and they hadn't even played a show here yet. And they're playing this place called the Phoenix Underground. And the drummer from Bloodlet, Charlie, was super excited to see Kissing Goodbye. And he's like, hey, how about this, guys? We're going to play our set. We're going to play like 10 minutes shorter than we would normally play. We'll cut like our last two songs or whatever. And you guys jump up on stage and just play two songs on our equipment. And Kiss Goodbye guys were like, sure, yeah, we'll play it for a fucking Neurosis' captive audience. That sounds great, you know? Is that cool with everyone? Charlie's like, oh, yeah, totally. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. And so Bloodlet plays their set, and they play a little shorter than usual. And turn everything off, and people are clapping. And Kiss Goodbye just jumps up with their equipment and plays two songs. And it's totally awesome. They play, like, Man Thing and, I think, Fire Drill or something. Like, real short songs. And then get off. And... no one in Neurosis had any clue it was going to happen. No one had talked to them. No one talked to the sound guy. No one talked to anyone. And the drummer of Neurosis was so furious, he refused to speak to members from Bloodlet for the rest of the tour. And then David thought it was amazing, by the way, because that guy's just super positive all the time. But years later, Neurosis is staying at Tom Rusnak from Kissing Goodbye's apartment in State College, Pennsylvania. And Tom and the drummer from Roses are hanging out and having a really good time and drinking and just everything's awesome. And, you know, Tom's finally like, hey, you know, we met before. He's like, oh, yeah, where did we meet, man? And he told him that story. And the guy looks at him, grabs all his stuff and goes and stays in the van, doesn't come back in the house.
Wow. Wow.
Holy cow. Years later, still furious about that.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I know. It didn't cut into their set. It didn't change anything, really. He just thought it was so, like...
Maybe
unprofessional.
Maybe he was bummed because they were actually awesome and he just realized that he's not in their band. And
yeah, but I mean, you can sit there and talk about not being professional all day long, but I mean, it was probably like it's not like you're playing the, you know, the grand fucking ballroom. It was probably like,
and it's not like they're fucking Led Zeppelin.
It was like probably a step up from like a bowling alley.
Yeah, and also it's like, weren't like 6 years ago, weren't you guys in like a fucking punk band? Like, isn't this punk? Like, isn't this like, you know, awesome?
We've matured, bro.
That's like right when they signed a Relapse, I think, though, isn't it? That's like the Through Silver and Blood era.
Yes, I believe that was Through Silver and Blood.
That might be why.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, definitely.
They had graduated from
Souls at Zero.
No, what's
that? Alternative Tentacles.
Yes, yeah, Alternative Tentacles.
Oh, they were on there? Oh, that's right.
For a long time.
Yeah, Lookout was their first record, or their second record. I think Pain of Mind was on a small punk label, but yeah.
So Alternative Tentacles put out Souls at Zero and
Enemy of the Sun.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Enemy of the Sun, yeah.
Sweet. So,
yeah, anyway, yes.
Now that we've kind of lost everybody.
Yeah, no longer about comics anymore.
Right? Do you have anything for Best Thing Ever?
I think that story was the best thing ever.
That story was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I guess, you know, doing this so far has been really fun. This is
awesome.
This will be my best thing ever. It's been a lot of fun. And it's,
sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I like to hear that. All right, then. I think that's going to wrap us up. Does anyone, whose pick is it next week?
Actually, it's Chris, so get ready for something scary.
Here comes another five-issue week. I want to review everything.
Five issues, you dingbat.
I want to review everything. This came out 6 months ago, but it rules. Sorry, bud. You know, we're just messing.
So, Ringside came out like about a month and a half ago. I didn't hear you guys complaining about that.
It's because you weren't at the store with me. Oh, I kid. But no, I don't. All right. We will get out of your guys' hair for the week, and we'll see you next week.
You are now leading the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.